It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Tamarie, I'm well at the moment. Like everybody else, nervously trying to get through the Omicron phase without contracting it. But I just see, you know, with the Leader of the Opposition coming down with it yesterday and quite a few parliamentarians, nobody is exempt from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was funny. A couple of weeks ago, I couldn't have named you a single person I knew personally that had COVID. Now I could tell you a dozen to a score.
So yes, it's changed very rapidly for us in New Zealand, hasn't it? Yeah. I think let's start with talking about Omicron then, because it is currently the big situation across the country, but particularly here in Auckland, we're seeing, a particular group, a larger group than the rest of the country is at the moment. We've seen some concern from the DHBs about strain on the hospitals. I want to talk about that in a moment, but I did want to get a bit of an update on what's happening with council facilities first, because we've seen some libraries are just doing click and collect again. You can't browse. Some other spaces are doing reduced capacity and reduced hours due to staff shortages. What's the general picture looking like for council facilities at the moment?
Yeah, like every other enterprise, council is suffering from the infection from COVID. And I got a briefing actually yesterday morning on it, which I've shared with all of our councillors. Of our staff, we've got about 7,000 staff. 629 are off work, 409 that are positive, and another 220 that are household contacts.
Mm-hmm.
In some areas, that's having quite an impact in regulatory services and customer and community services. About 7% of our workforce isn't present. And you can see that in libraries. Across the city, we've had to temporarily close 7. We've got 25 on reduced services. Pools and leisure centres, about 4% are closed there, mm-hmm. and 29% on reduced services. And, you know, we're obviously keeping a close eye on our contractors, for example, picking up our rubbish. You know, they're being affected, but at the moment they are coping and we're delivering the essential services that we need to. Over at Auckland Transport, we have had to, it's affected rail more heavily than the other public transport services. So trains that were running at, you know, a 10-minute interval or basically an 8 to 10-minute interval on the southern, western and eastern lines are now running at 20-minute intervals. And most buses are still running to regular timetables, but we've had to cancel some bus services. And ferry services also running at regular timetables. But because, you know, when Omicron infects a space and you've got a lot of close contacts,
mm-hmm.
You know, this situation can change at any time. So, yeah, we're not immune from it, but we are coping.
How is that flow-on effect, affecting the public? Are we hearing much about what that's looking like for commuters trying to get into work? Is it causing massive disruption or is it managing to get by at the moment?
It's managing to get by because of Omicron. Not sure what the figures in the last few days have been, but last week we were at about 33% of our normal commuter levels on public transport. It has risen to, you know, up as high as 48%. But I notice even on the motorways as I come in, usually about 6 o'clock in the morning and go mm-hmm. home, you know, 5 or 6 at night. And I'm not getting caught in any traffic jams. Now, it's a sad way to deal with congestion, but the motorways are much lighter, which suggests to me that quite a lot of people are working from home and quite a lot of people are affected as positive cases or household contacts and are isolating at home. There's no restriction on people coming into work at the moment, obviously. We were at the red traffic light mm-hmm. setting. So that's a bit of a reflection of what's happening. And I don't think that the figures that we're getting in terms of number of positive cases will be as accurate as the figures when everybody relied on the PCR test.
We've definitely seen a shift to looking at hospitalisations as a better tracking of how the pandemic is getting on. Again, we'll get to hospitalisations in a minute, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on something we've seen happen overseas, which is once, restrictions start to ease a little bit, which is looking quite far into the future for us, but also once we start to see coming down the other side of this peak, we will be seeing more people heading back into the city. There has been quite a bit of trepidation in some cities overseas from folks getting back on public transport. If they can avoid it, they are avoiding it at the moment. You can understand why that is. How is the council going to encourage folks to be using public transport? Obviously with safety protocols in place, but is there any thought or talk about incentivisation for using public transport to help us get back into that habit as a city?
Well, it's pretty hard in terms of financial incentivisation because we are just taking a hammering on our revenue because we're only getting a third of our normal patronage. So we're losing literally tens of millions of dollars, and that ultimately has to be subsidised out of council. So this is creating a real problem once again for us at council because our costs are going up, as everybody's costs are going up with inflation and interest rates, but our revenue is going down. Look, I have talked to a number of businesses around the city and, you know, what can we do? Because Auckland's been hit harder than the rest of the country, and the area in Auckland that's been hit hardest of all is the city centre. Just no doubt about that. It's taken an absolute hammering. And we'll want to work with the private sector to try to encourage people to come back to work. But that will, you know, that's obviously not going to happen while we're still looking at the peak levels of Omicron. But there's been some cautious optimism, and let me stress the word cautious as much as optimism, that Auckland may have peaked. It's thought that because it hit Auckland first, Auckland will peak first and then come down first.
What is that conversation happening with the private sector? What does it look like at the moment?
Look, everybody's scaling back. The government brought in a scheme, you know, to help people through 4 weeks of what's expected to be the peaking of Omicron with support to businesses again, and that was really appreciated. But it's not full compensation, so people are still suffering. I think, what people are keen to do is to get, once we've got past this peak and, you know, presuming that we, big presumption, that we don't have a new variant of COVID that is more contagious or more lethal, we'll want to encourage people to come back into work. We'll want to encourage people to go out. I was in the city on Saturday night down at the Viaduct, and it wasn't hugely busy, but there were significant numbers of people around. Walking up Queen Street at about midnight was very quiet, apart from a few cars with boomboxes blaring. people aren't confined to home as in a lockdown. They are self-regulating. They're saying there's a hell of a lot of it out there. It's safer if we get takeaways and we stay at home. And they'll ultimately be the determinant of when they come back to the city. But what we'll try to do once we're past the peak of Omicron is have a few activations around town and work with the private sector to encourage people to come in and enjoy the city, particularly as we still have this long ongoing summer.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the DHBs and the hospitals in particular and how they're coping at the moment. We've seen in the media reports of big staff shortages at, for example, Middlemore Hospital, which has been particularly hard hit. They've really taken the brunt of a lot of this pandemic here in Tamaki Makaurau. What's been some of the conversations you've been having? Obviously, this is a central government kind of jurisdiction, but within Auckland City, we're seeing so much of it and so much acute, crises at the moment. What has been some of the ongoing discussion there?
Yeah, well, when we looked at what happened in Melbourne and Sydney, we could see that the health system, because they're dealing with, you know, a whole lot of people coming in with COVID, are more vulnerable. And it's not just the doctors and nurses, but it's also the people that do the cleaning and the wardsmaids and various other things. The latest reports that I have from Middlemore is that about 15 to 20% of staff aren't at work, either because they're tested positive mm-hmm. or somebody in their household has. Andrew Old from the Dr. Old from the Northern Region and Health Coordination Centre said, you know, it's under a bit of strain, but that it's currently coping. And that he was cautiously optimistic. I think Ashley Bloomfield has said the same thing.
There was some pushback on that, though, on that comment.
From the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, I think it was their executive director, Sarah Dalton, that said, look, we were stretched before because we've been short of nurses for a long, long time. You know, please take note, Mr. Luxon, that if you're going to cut taxes, we'll be back to the days when the hospital system became run down and we're paying the price for that now. Now is not the time for tax cuts. Now's the time to invest more in our hospital system. And I think most Aucklanders would be sympathetic to that. So, look, it's no doubt that this is stretching the system. As indeed, from time to time, it happened in the worst of the, you know, the midwinter flu situation. So we're possibly lucky that this isn't happening in winter when we had the combined effect of flu and Omicron.
We know that that's going to be a situation possibly in the not too distant future. Is there discussion of preparation for that happening at the moment that you've been privy to?
Yeah, look, I don't get into the details because, as you say, it's a central government function. But there is provision, you know, within Auckland, the DHBs will, if there's shortage of staff in one area, they can look to cooperate amongst themselves. I heard this morning that even, you know, some doctors are taking on some of the nursing duties because of the nurse shortages caused by people with who have tested positive. So it's not an easy situation, but it never is for our hospital system. You know, you go there at any time and you'll find that if you're going to A&E, and sometimes I do a shift at A&E just to see what's happening there, you know, it's always a pressured environment. And then you get an extraordinary event like this and it adds pressure to the pressure. So I don't make light of the pressure they're under, you know, with huge efforts from our staff, they are at the moment coping. But if the situation were to get worse, then you'd you know, you'd have to think about whether anywhere else in the country was able to help out as they did when we were under lockdown. But of course this is affecting everywhere around the country, so I'm not quite sure how practicable that will be at the moment.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. It's great to have you on the show. We will talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a good week until then.
Yeah, and hopefully the numbers, we will have a better idea of where the numbers are trending at that point.
Yes.
It'll be good when we get back to the times when we talked about a whole range of issues.
Exactly.
And we weren't dominated by COVID.
It wasn't all coming back to Omicron.
That's the world we live in. Okay, take care.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you very much.